Good morning. I guess I want to talk a little bit, just briefly, about the meeting. One of the things that struck me about the meeting was it wasn't the lessons. It was everybody was sitting in here, and the purity and the honesty of everybody that was in here. Not that we're all so great, but the motive of everybody being in here. Lately, I've been a lot of political stuff going on, all of them, and it's just I'm highly disappointed in the Republicans, and I'm disappointed in my coworkers, and then I was sitting in here, and everybody here, or at least as far as I could tell, was here because they wanted to worship God. I mean, some of them, I classify them as friends, brothers and sisters, but they come here once a year, and we worry about what they're going to think of our houses and this kind of things, you know. And they come here because they want to be here for our meeting. Not necessarily because they even know us that well. I mean, it just kind of strikes me as they came here because they wanted to worship God. So I thought that was really neat. And then, speaker after speaker, there's at least three of them that reassured me that we were here to... we were on this earth to serve God. That was our priority. And that's been getting a little screwed around for me lately. And Keith Fenton really stepped on my toes. Well, yeah, I guess he stepped on my toes. Because I'm working all the time. And that's part of my problem with this lesson. Is I worked Friday night. I worked yesterday. And... in 2 hours and 15 minutes, I go leave for work again. So, that's just kind of... I've been a crazy weekend. So, made me start to think about, you know, what things are. Okay. So, this started before the lesson. Because I knew I worked this weekend. I knew I had the lesson. And I take a large amount of time to worry and fret about lessons. So I knew I wasn't going to have that. So I started a couple weeks ago. And the title of my lesson is, What Does God Want? I want to read Ephesians chapter 2. Now, what I think God wants is God wants to be God. He wants to be it. He's the one who created us. And he's the one that brought us into this world. And he's the one that can take us out of this world. How many times have you heard that from your dad? Yeah. So, he wants to be God. But he also has this strange desire that he wants us to do that totally voluntarily. He's given us all the reasons to worship him. He's given us a lot of reasons not to worship him. Or maybe I should say distractions not to worship him. And he wants us to all come together from all over the world, like there's a magnet pulling us, like in the movie Iron Man. I think it was Iron Giant, where he gets blown up, blown to smithereens, and then all these little pieces, this finger comes crawling across Antarctica, They all come, all these pieces come together. That's what God wants. He wants us all voluntary pieces that come together and build this church. And that's what He wants. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll be reading out of the New International. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and sealed us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That last part is probably the key. God has done, in the first part, it talks about grace. We had blown it. I mean, we were gone. We weren't even worth looking at. And God loved us and made this plan. Well, He already had the plan made, but enacted His plan and created this opportunity for us. And it's our job to recognize God for doing that. That's what worship to God is saying to God that how great He is, and loving and gracious and merciful and all these things, and then sharing that with other people. Part of my goal is I have this missing link in my head somewhere, and I guess I'm trying to find it. But anyway, I know this is a tremendous message. I know this is of the utmost importance. And this is it. For I mean, if I can do nothing else but this, I will have accomplished everything I should have accomplished in this life. But for some reason, I just can't seem to get fired up about how great this is, how wonderful it is. I mean, I go through work and I listen to people talk about despicable things and their life's all messed up and all this stuff, and I don't say anything to them. In fact, I don't even think about it till much later. It's like, should have said something. You know, there's this something's missing. I'm not quite sure what it is. So I'm trying to go back and pick that up wherever I dropped it or didn't pick it up or something. So that's part of my studies here. And we heard that at the meeting. Dwayne Stoops said, one soul at a time. That's a pretty good theory, I think. There's a story about this is an Indian story, not American Indians, but India Indians. Some guy helped the emperor, or whatever his name was, solve some great problem. And he was just a little man on the totem pole. And he helped solve the problem. So the emperor said, well, whatever you want, you can have it. So the emperor said, or the little guy said, I just want one grain of rice today, and for every square on the chessboard, I'm maybe messing this up, but for however many squares are on the chessboard, I want you to double that. Well, by the time he got to the end of the chessboard, he had all the rice in India. And this was a radio show that was talking about technology, and they said technology is doubling. Every 20 years it's doubling. So you go back 10 years ago, your smartphone you have in your pocket is much better than the personal computer you had sitting in your home. It's much smaller, it's cheaper, it's faster, it's better, it's just tremendously better. And they were using this story to signify that. Well, that goes pretty much with everything in this world. Things are just growing and doubling in size, and changing. Change is upon us. And this is the thing that makes it all worth participating in. And that one soul. And then that one soul goes on to double that. That's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. So, where I was going with that was, all right. I think we are stuck in our Norman Rockwell pictures. And on news, this is what's been driving me lately, is the way things are changing. Things are changing so much. And on the news, they're talking about the census and how things were going to change. I said, in 30 years, I'll be 76. And they said that by then, whites will be a minority. Now, I'm not racist, and that's fine with that. But think of the implications of what that means. Think of what that's going to change. Hispanics are having the most babies, so they're going to be, according to the numbers, Hispanic will be the main DNA pool, I guess. After that will be Asians. They'll be the next. And then after that will be blacks. And then fourth, we whites. And right now, if you think what you know what's going on, I read this in the paper, so take it for what it's worth. But actually, there's more Asians in Iowa than there are Hispanics. Now, think about what you're seeing and what we complain about. That's not what we complain about, is Asians. We don't complain about... and I'm not trying to be racist here. What I'm saying is, things are changing. And think of what that means. The house is on fire. What are you going to take? If you've never thought about it before, I think of, I don't know her name, but the lady whose house burnt. And they left the house and went back in the house, and they tripped over her purse like two times. And if they would have remembered to grab her purse, they would have had a phone, keys, all kinds of important papers and things that they would have really helped in the process. So I guess what I'm saying is we need to, what I'm afraid of, this is personal, this lesson is for me. I'm not talking to anybody else, and pointedly anyway, I'm talking to me. I want to have my life in order so that I'm not worrying about something over here. Meanwhile, it's changing like crazy over here, and then I get blindsided. So, what I'm saying is, I'm worried about that missing piece out of here. Because if I don't keep this foremost, then I'm going to get blindsided by something else. And it won't be good. So I want to keep the Bible first. Keep God's Word first. So what does God want? I'm going to go to Romans 3. This is one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, I think. But I used to write down my favorites, and then I'll just be easier to carry the Bible. So, because somebody already did that. Romans 3, 22 through 25. I'm going to take these off. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. So God doesn't care if you're Hispanic, Asian, black, or white. Doesn't care. I mean, I don't want anybody to think... Anyway, never mind. Okay. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's no race on this earth that has lived up to God. And so we have all fallen short. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. Freely. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be the... All right, now this is what God wants. So as to be the one... If I can read it right. So as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. All right, I wanted to stop there, didn't I? Okay. So, God wants to be it. There's two people in this world. There's those who believe in Christ and those who won't. And God is like a knife or a sword that is on edge. And we trip and we fall and slide across that. So justice is that edge. Part of you is going to be on this side and part of you is going to be on that side. There's no... Justice doesn't care that my heart is on this side and my brain's on this side. It doesn't care. It's justice. If you're on this side, you're on this side. If you're on this side, you're on that side. So make sure you are on the right side. All right, so God wants us to praise Him. Second Corinthians 6:16. And I didn't finish my notes, so. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and of idols? There's the two sides. For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. So God is wanting a separate people. He's wanting not in that we live separately from everybody else, but that we don't live like everybody else. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, 1 through 12. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. That's what I'm attempting to do. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And there's your two sides. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. So, it doesn't matter who lives around us. Who lives with us? It's up to us to live as pure as we can so that we can affect change on them and we can influence them. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. I had an interesting experience at work last night. We count narcotics twice a shift. And if one of them comes up missing, all kinds of nasty things happen. Everybody gets drug tested. The police come and search your house, from what I understand. And it's just like you're instantly put under the microscope and things get really uncomfortable. And people were sweating last night. And finally they found it. But anyway, but there were some people worried, and I was, the lady who was working with me, which we were clearing the other end of the building, we weren't even working in that half of the building, and we were still going to have to go through the testing and all that stuff. And she was going, yeah, good thing I haven't smoked in a couple weeks. And she wasn't talking about cigarettes. And then later that night, I was talking to one of the guys that was working on the other side, and he's got a cousin that does smoke and lives in their basement. And he's not at home right now, and they're pretty sure that he's got some stuff in his house that he doesn't want the police finding. Crazy. So I was pretty happy that I've lived the way I've lived. So there's something to be said about that. So anyway, as you can tell, I've been worrying about things changing. And I can tell you right now that Hispanics are not very high on my list of worries. So I want to make sure that was clear. I'm going to go to all right, let's go to Romans 15. I guess I apologize. I wish I would have had more time or more quality time on this. I had time. I just didn't spend it very well, I guess. All right, Romans 15, 5 through 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. All right, I went further than I wanted to there, but that's the whole point. The whole point is to bring glory to God. And that's such a small point in one way, or simple, maybe, is a better term, but it's easily forgotten and distracted from. And that's what I fight with. I'm going to go to Psalms 42. I found this, I think it was during our meeting. Nobody turned there. I just happened to open my Bible and there it was. And anyway, I thought it was fitting for me. As a deer pants for streams of water. Now, a little comment on that. Have you ever seen a deer panting? Usually they're standing out in the field eating and grazing. They're usually not panting unless something's chasing them. Then they're panting. Okay, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about David, one of the greatest kings of Israel. And I'm assuming that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back, is what he's referring to here, he was leading the procession, and he was having a great time, and he was king at that point. Now, I don't know when he wrote this psalm, but I'm going to imagine that this is probably when Absalom, or he had several times where he was actually chased out of his palace or place of honor and out of his city and was running around the wilderness being chased. Now listen to what he says. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, in the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizra. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. So, life is changing, and I think we're going to see big changes coming soon. And so, I guess my goal for myself is to have God's Word planted firmly in my heart, and to focus on that, and to let that be my priority. And there's so much comfort in that, last verse there. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. That's our purpose here. Our purpose is to bring glory to God, to live our lives in such a manner that it doesn't matter what happens around us. Well, even as impossible as that may sound at times, that's what we're to do. And so talk to that one person, and maybe that one grain of rice will turn into two, and that two into four, and by the time you get done, you got all the rice in India. So, God has done marvelous things with much less resources than we have in our hands. And so, God is good. So those are my thoughts for this morning. I meant them to be encouraging. I'm not so sure they came out that way. But focus on God, and He will lift you up. So we'll offer the invitation at this time. If there's anybody here who is not associated with God or has is not associated with him as much as you would like, and would like to renew that commitment, if you come forward while we sing the closing song, we can help you with that.